Thank you, Jeff and Donna. That was, as that song said, how can we not just shout it? I've had one of them kind of weeks that, get this thing here straight. Cool. I don't plan on standing here too long, but I've had one of those kind of weeks. It's the Lord has showed me a few things, and I've been in His Word a lot. Every time I get this opportunity, I see Him spend a little bit more time in the Word. For you folks that weren't here a couple weeks ago, I'll bring you up to speed real quick. A couple weeks back, I was invited to Shelby, North Carolina, and I wasn't sure why I was going. A good brother in Christ invited me, and he said, "You got to come down and be a part of this." So I did. And when I got there, I met a church planner from China. And I'd never heard of him. And he was in the IBM, International Mission Boards of the Southern Baptist Church. And I'd never heard of his training. I'd never heard of this fella. But he went on to explain what the Lord had laid on his heart. And he had been a missionary for 20 years. And he had been working in China underground and was having great results as far as I was concerned. I mean, when he told me about how many people he won each year, he was winning about 50 to 60 people a year to Christ and planting about one church a year. In a undercover operation as a volunteer at a hospital in China. The Lord had called him out of there, was going to reassign him into a new location. He was going into an area of 20 million people plus. And he looked at the methods that the IBM was using at that time, and he said, "There's no way, Lord, that you want me to continue to do this. I got to pray about this, and I want you to open up doors that, you know, we can reach more people." So this conference was about that. Ying Kai and Grace Kai, in the last 20 years, have led over 1 million people to Christ and planted over 1,500 churches. And it's such a simple process. But what happened in those folks' lives is the Holy Spirit got a hold of them. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit that makes people flop up and down and run and holler and act crazy. I grew up in a Pentecostal background, so I have a little bit of liberty to express myself on that. We're getting ready to go into the book of Acts, and we're going to hear a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And there is a way to rightly divide that. And I'm sure that we'll get that from Kurt, as we always do. But the Holy Spirit laid on him a message, laid on him a technique. And I shared a little bit of that a couple weeks ago, and Kurt wanted me to come back and do a whole book review in 20 minutes. It's going to be hard. There's 6 points. It's simple. This is nothing hard to do. And I've been putting this into practice, and it's awesome. It's so simple. And I want to share with you folks the 6 points this morning. We're going to start where we started a couple weeks ago. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's the same scripture that we've read in every discipleship class, every missionary class, every evangelism class, before every revival we've ever tried to do. We kind of hit this one here. But he brought it out in a little bit different way. Now, I've been in church all my life. I started out as, I've got some pictures on Facebook that I actually put a joke on. I got a little picture that I put on last week or so that a good friend of mine is supplying me with a bunch of pictures. My cousin and another friend that I grew up with, and our family didn't have cameras. We didn't take many pictures back in the 60s because you had to have them developed. We live way out in the country, and you had to have a flash bulb, and we just didn't take many pictures. We don't have many family pictures. Well, apparently other people were taking pictures of us because we were in church all the time. And I've got this little picture of me in a little suit and tie, and every picture that I'm in, we're on our way to church. I mean, that's where we were headed. So I've been doing this all my life. I haven't missed many Sundays. And I've been sitting where you folks are sitting today all my life. And the Lord has showed me something that's so different, that's so special in my life. It may not be for everyone here. I'm not saying it is. I think the scriptures tell us that it is. But that's what I'm going to try to share with you today. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said to them, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching him to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, we've all read that. I guarantee you, if we don't have any clue how many times we've read that. And when Ying Kai was in that room, his first point out of these 6 points, I'm going to go over 6 points, and I'm going to go over them pretty quick, because there is a book, there's a book available. The book is awesome. I've read through it frontwards, backwards. It answers my questions. It, I have a lot of doubt about some of the things that I do. So, this man's already walked this trail. He's walked it in China. He's walked it in South America, in Central America. And what's really important, he's walked it here in the United States. Say it works. It don't work because of Ying Kai. It don't work because I'm all excited about it. It don't work for any of those reasons. It worked because Jesus Christ promised it would work. It's got nothing to do with us. We serve a sovereign God. His work's going to get fulfilled, completed, but he wants us to have a little bit of this. You know, when they were singing that first song, we're going to be in his presence for 10,000 years and we're just going to get started. We can't keep that quiet. We can't. There's people that are watching our lives. There's people that are seeing us every day in our jobs. There's people that are coming alongside of us in the Walmart. Hopefully they're not coming alongside of me in Lowe's when I'm having a fit. But there's people that are watching us. And we've got something so precious. I don't care whether you're Pentecostal or Presbyterian. I don't care whether you're on fire. You know, I've told you about that. We talked about being on fire a lot. I never did see it, but I heard about it. Or whether you're one of the frozen chosen. I don't think it's got anything to do with what we're talking about. I think what we have is so precious that we can't keep it quiet. And what does Jesus Christ tell us to do? To go. That's point number one. We got to go. For some of us, that's going to mean going to Baxter's and having a Bible study. For some of us, it's going to be going to the Forge. For some of us, it's going to be going to Malawi. For some of us, it's going to be going to prison. I got kicked out of prison this week. I've been kicked out of every kind of bar, every kind of place. Val can testify to this. I don't remember all of them, but I've been kicked out of just about every place I've ever been. I didn't used to be that friendly. I got kicked out of prison this week. Out of a state prison. They kicked me out. So, we got to go. Now, I'm going to try my best to go back this week. And I'm praying the Lord will allow me to go back in there. But through that, the Lord showed me something. This is not an indictment against coming to church. Don't get me wrong. This is important. You're my faith family. You know, when I heard about James Ramsey getting sick, I prayed. I said, man, you know, you're my brother in Christ, and I mean that. When I hear about one of you going through difficulties, I pray. You know, you're my faith family. So I'm not saying, you know, we go and forsake this, because the ecclesia, the body of Christ, is what it's all about. But we have something so precious. That analogy that I used, that example I used about grandkids like a couple weeks ago, you know, when you don't, no one here has a problem talking about their grandkids. We got to go. And we got to tell the people that we're, you know, I pray in the morning, Lord, give me somebody that's not so busy, that has time to listen to what I have to say. I'm going to tell them about Jesus if I can. The people that I work for every day, I tell them about Jesus every day. And they probably think that's that weird dude, you know, and I hope so. Because he said he'd pick a peculiar person. Lord, he's got them. Look around us. He chose us to share this message. So he said, go. So you go. And you pray that the Lord will send a person to stand beside you in the longest line. When you go to Walmart, don't get in the shortest line. Get in the longest line you can so you can tell somebody about it. I mean, that's crazy. But you go. Everywhere you go, we've got something we got to share. That was his first point. If we just invite people to come to church, they're going to be like I was for 50 years. I'm going to sit in a pew and I'm going to do my church thing. That's not what he told me to do. We got people that we love. We got people that we don't love. We got people we don't even know that need to hear this word. When we go into the book of Acts, are you going to start next week, brother? I'm not going to be here next week, but I'll be able to hear the recording. You know, that whole book, if you get the book of Acts, you get the New Testament, you get the New Covenant. I live in the book of Acts. Not for crazy stuff, but to see how the church developed, to see why the church developed, see how the Holy Spirit came upon those people, and how that message went throughout the world. That hasn't changed. We think it's, you know, now we've got a building that they didn't have. Now we got the word that they didn't have, that we sat back and we do this every Sunday. I'm guilty of it. I'm not speaking to you folks. I'm speaking to Bob. I was perfectly content to sit on a pew and do my church thing. I didn't share Jesus with no one. We got to go. Wherever that is. Whether you're dealing cows, I grew up on a farm. Whether you're teaching at a college, whether you're however, you got to go. You got to pray, Lord, open that door for me, because you promised that if you would do that. So that's the first point. Go. The second point, and this was one that started giving me a little problem when he was talking about China, is that you share this message with everyone. You don't hand select the people that you share it with. You don't know who the Holy Spirit has prepared for you. So I'm under the impression, if I've got the opportunity, if the Holy Spirit puts it in my head, and I'm standing beside this man right here in line, I'm going to try to come up with a reason to talk about Jesus and share Christ to everyone. Not just the guy with a smile on his face, not just the guy that looks like he's approachable, or the lady that looks like he's approachable, or another saint of God. You know, we have spent, the church in the Americas have spent the last 50 years saving the saved. I'm a firm believer of that. We saved enough. We are. We got it. Now we got to give it away. Can't keep it balled up in our fist. We got to open our hand. So we share it with everyone. You know, there's a parable in the New Testament. Jesus told us a parable of the sower. And let me see. It's in Matthew 13, it's in Luke 8, and it's in Mark 4, the same parable about the sower. As you know, the sower was a farmer. And the farmer went out, and he had to know where to sow these seeds, but he sowed them everywhere. He sowed them on the road. He sowed them in the rocks. He sowed them in the thorns. He sowed them, but he sowed some on fertile ground. That fertile ground part's not our responsibility. So we share it with everyone that we come in contact with. I'm going to turn to Romans, let's see here, Romans 10, 14, and 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If you don't, bring them next week, because when we get into Acts, you're going to need them. Romans. They've moved Romans. It's not where it used to be. I hate that. I tried to find Joel this morning, and I looked for 20 minutes in the New Testament for an Old Testament prophet. Figured they'd put him back in the New Testament. But it hadn't. They left him where he was. Okay, Romans 10, 14, and 15. I'll get there immediately. Where are we at here? How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Let me stop there real quick. I ain't talking about this guy. He's part of that. But he's talking about all of us. We're all priests. And this new covenant thing that we're involved in. You know, I've talked to some of you folks, you know, about that. I've talked to my, and I was praying this week. I wanted to talk to Brent this week about this message. And here Brent shows up begging for alms. That's cool. And I do appreciate what you're doing, brother. But, you know, there's people that are going to say, we're not qualified. We're not qualified to do a baptism. We're not qualified to do this. We're not qualified to do that. Scriptures don't tell me that. When they're talking about priests, we're talking about preachers here. They're talking about all of us. That don't negate the fact that we need a shepherd. We do. We do need a shepherd. And I praise God we got the shepherd that we have. Okay, starting again in verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ. Paul here is referring to Isaiah 52, I think verse 7. Yeah. He's quoting Isaiah here. And Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel about coming back into fellowship with Christ. But he said, if the people don't hear it, how are they going to believe? Now, I understand sovereignty, or at least I have a grasp on it. I don't have it completely. I believe God's in control and He's going to see through what He needs to see through. But He's going to try to bless us with that opportunity. He's going to try to show us how great. Man, when these people started singing this morning, I'm excited. I'm excited about serving the Lord. I'm excited about sharing Jesus. I'm excited about getting kicked out of prison because I see what that was. I'm excited about that. I'm no longer getting kicked out of bar rooms. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not getting beat up like I used to get beat up or whatever, you know. I mean, it's like I'm a different person. I thank God for that. And I can see just a little glimpse, a little teeny glimpse of what He has in store for my life. And I got to share it. And then we're all sitting in glory. And I'm going to sit around and I'm going to tell Brent, you know, about all those things that we went through and about Val, all those things that she stuck with me through. And Lord knows some of us men have just made a mess of things. But now we're His. We were His before the foundation of the earth, He tells us. And now we're His. And what are we going to do with it? We got to do something with it. We can't keep it. It's too precious. You know, I can't tell you how many people this week talked to me about winning the blooming lottery. I think it's a lot of money this week. You know, it's like the same thing as the grandkids. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, I think the grandkids are actually more important than the lottery. Well, the guy that's saying amen the loudest was one of the first persons to talk to me about winning the lottery. You know, I love him. But he said, what would you do with, at that time it was almost $1 billion. Almost. $1 billion. I don't get it. What I got is so much more precious. I get it. I mean, you know, I don't want it. I don't play the lottery. I'd be a mess. I'd be a mess with $100. So $1 billion wouldn't really be good for me. It's not. How much? Yeah, I mean, imagine. But we talk about things like that. And it's funny to, you know, it is kind of funny. You know, it is. It's kind of funny. We all live in the land of plenty. I mean, he's got warehouses full of stuff. I've seen it. And they brought him toilet paper. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, but I need, what I have is so much more. It's so much more. And I'm going to share it with everybody I got. Everybody that will listen to me. And I'm sure it's not going to work that much. You know, people are going to look at me like, you're a nut. But I'm going to be able to stand before Him and say, Lord, I tried. I did what You asked me to do. You told me to do it. And I'm going to do it. Because this little Chinese guy did it. And Paul did it. Even John Mark did it, and he ran out on him. I mean, it's not always going to be pretty, but there's people that have gone before us that it shows it can be done. You know, we are sitting in a situation in America today that if something drastically doesn't change, and I don't know if it's God's sovereign will or not. I can't foresee the future. I'm not a prophet. Our churches are closing at a rapid number. We're losing ground. Maybe that's all in God's plan. I don't know. But I am here to say that if there's anything we can do about it, I'm willing to step up and try. The last thing I want to say is, man, I used to go to that church. And it was awesome. It was an awesome group of people. And they were older folks. And, you know, I mean, it just closed. place that we used to do our sunrise service. That broke my heart last year when we went there. That was the last time that door was going to be open. Congregation aged out. It's a natural process. But they weren't making disciples. I guarantee they weren't. They weren't training people to train people. And that's what we got to look at. That's what this guy figured out. So that's number two. Okay, number one was go. There's a quiz at the end. Number two, to everyone, not just some. We it's not our responsibility to harvest. We will get a chance to see some results, but we spread the seeds to everyone. Okay. We're down to, we only got seven pages left. Turn to Acts 1:8 real quick. Where's that at? It's not after Romans, it's before Romans. Okay, Acts 1:8. You think I would have marked these? Okay. My opinion here is this scripture is the if you could take the book of Acts that we're getting ready to go into, and I'm so excited about it, you could kind of wrap the book of Acts around this one scripture. There's a lot of things you could wrap the book of Acts around. This one scripture. 1:8. Jesus is speaking here, and he's training his disciples what's about to take place. They don't have any idea. You know, they're excited about what they've saw take place. He's risen from the dead, and they're kind of confused because they thought he was going to be a king, and he got killed, and now he's alive again, and they're kind of confused what they're supposed to do. I mean, the leader of the pack has done denied him three times, and he's not really a real solid guy to begin with. I mean, he's a nut, a fisherman, and kind of hot-tempered, and, you know, just kind of weird. And so he's telling them, what are you going to do? And Jesus comes to him and he says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power that he's talking about is with us today. You know, a lot of people ask me, do you believe in a second baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church and they spoke a lot about that. A baptism in speaking in tongues. They spoke a lot about that. The fruits of the Spirit were spoken about a lot. Or the gifts of the Spirit, I should say. Yeah, I do believe in a second baptism and a third baptism and a fourth baptism and a 200th baptism and a 400th baptism. I think the Holy Spirit, when he needs to come upon someone, he will. I don't think it's a place we dwell. I think he is a comforter. He does come. But I think that we have that at our availability. We have that power that Christ said. You know, Christ, and I think I've got it here in my notes, but I've got to hurry up. Christ said that, you know, when he left, he said, you know, you're going to do greater things than I was able to do. And I read that scripture a lot, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. You're going to do greater things than I was able to do. How? I've got 2,000 people follow me on Facebook every day from all over the world. People from your country. People from Africa. People from Muslim countries. And I don't, it's nothing that really life-shattering, but I'm reaching those people with the gospel every day. So there's more people in one day watching my posts. And I have people disagree with me a lot. I mean, they're not all real friendly. You know, I had a few people tell me that, you know, I had a guy come a couple weeks ago that, what did he say, I was a demon-possessed Calvinist. He didn't mix words. That was pretty cool. You know, I didn't agree with him, but at least he, and I thank this dude, awesome. I mean, I'm not trying to convince him of that. What I'm trying to do is lift up Jesus. That's it. I'm a demon-possessed Calvinist. If he'd have said a spirit-possessed Calvinist, I would have said, cool. I get that, but I don't know about the demon-possessed. So that's, number one was what? Oh, man. Whoa. What was number two?
Everybody.
Okay, number three. Y'all sang too long. Make a disciple, not a church member. Jesus wants us all to be disciples. big D disciples. I've heard a lot of people, well, I'm a little D disciple. Now, you're a follower of Christ. You study his word. You're a disciple of Christ. And what do disciples do if they're doing it correctly? They're making disciples. So my opinion is, after reading the word for all these years, that I've missed it. I've been a church member. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been a youth leader. And I kept teaching this. And I love this book. I read it every day. You know, I know this book. Not as much as not near as much as some of those inmates that I get a chance to share with. But I love this book. But I didn't make disciples. I didn't. I just kept teaching the book. I didn't drink. I quit doing dope. I never did smoke. Tobacco. I quit doing all the things, you know. I even didn't eat that much chicken because I saw a lot of fat preachers. I didn't. I thought they were, when I saw fat preachers, I said, man, that's terrible, man. You know, I didn't. And I don't mean that against any, if we have any fat preachers in the room. We thank the Lord. I know we don't have one. But, you know, I didn't do all the stuff. I didn't cheat on my wife. I didn't cheat on my taxes too much. You know, I was pretty good for a Christian guy. You know, I was kind of friendly if you caught me in a good day. You know, I'd even, in a squeeze, I'd maybe pray for you. Not out loud, not right then. But now I do. And now I want to share that with everybody. And that's the Holy Spirit in me. That's that second or third or 200th baptism that I'm talking about. So, okay. We're going to make disciples, not church members. Will we invite them into the church? By all means. Will we, if they're a part of our family, my opinion is, if we... I ain't got time. Okay, number one. Okay, number two. Everybody. Number three, we're to make disciples, not church members. How are we going to do it? Number four. We're going to tell our story. I've heard your story. It's bad. He was a mess. And I've heard your story. And I've heard a lot of your stories. And some of them are a mess. You haven't heard all my story, and I ain't going to tell it. Because it's a mess. But tell your story. Tell your story before Christ. Who were you before Christ? How'd you come to Christ? What drew you? And now that you're in Christ, how's your life with Christ? I can tell you that my life with Christ is totally, totally, totally different than it was before Christ. And I was a little church kid, man. My biggest crime that I had ever committed, the biggest sin I ever committed was probably stealing a Matchbox toy. You know, I hadn't gotten to that point where I was really, you know, went to the altar and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was a little kid. But that was it. I believed in Jesus. That was it. And then the temptations of the world came along. We've all been there. Some of us a lot worse than others. A lot of our families are still there. A lot of my nieces and nephews and family members are still there. And we got to pray. This whole thing hinges upon prayer. That's why Jesus told those folks to go into the upper room and wait till the day of Pentecost. They prayed. I want to see this church become a house of prayer. There's nothing wrong with the prayer that we do on Sunday mornings. That's great. It's an opening prayer. That's invite the Lord's presence into our building. But we need to pray. We need to get serious about this. I want to get serious about it. We need to have more prayer meetings than we do business meetings. We need to have more prayer meetings than we do whatever we do else. Yard sales. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Don't stop doing it. That's not an indictment against yard sales or what we do, because we benefit the community a lot by doing that. But we got to become a house of prayer. Okay. Tell your story. Number one, go. Number two, everyone. Number three. Right? Number four? Cool. Keep it simple. Keep it short. Ying Kai said you should be able to tell your story in a minute and a half. To anybody. Any subject. You have to rehearse this. You have to figure this out. This is not something, you know, when I'm talking to someone about fishing, which I do all the time, I have to weave that story of Jesus into fishing, which for me is real easy. I always start out with a prison hook. Everybody wants to hear about a prison. Most people have some interest or have been close enough to going or has someone in, that's a really good hook. Prisons are good hooks. You know, what do you do other than this? I'm involved in prison ministry. What's that about? Let me tell you about my life. Real quick. I used to be a mess. I used to be on drugs. I used to have so much doubt. I tried to find what I've got right now and everything under the sun. And the only thing that completed me was Jesus Christ. The only thing. More money didn't do it. More whatever. I'm not going to go make a list of sins, but whatever didn't do it. But Jesus Christ did. And that's what I tell them. And then I go and talk about fishing. Then I go back and say, hey, and I'll bring it right back to them. You know, tell me about your life. And if they don't say something, and usually if they're a believer, they bring it, right, oh man, I love your testimony, and this is what I'm doing. And if they don't, then they're going to hear it again. And most people come back. I got a phone call this week from the general manager of the Biltmore in Asheville. He fished with me last year with the whole upper management group. We talked about Jesus on the, you know, how can a person be that blessed with that much property, the biggest house in the United States, or all this stuff like that. And he said, he's a great guy. And I'm thinking, my goodness, just think what it's going to be like in heaven. He looks at me like, you've got to be crazy. There's going to be bigger houses than that in heaven? There can't be a bigger house in heaven than the Biltmore. Oh, yeah. Yes, and one of those rooms is going to be mine. That's how it works. You weave that story. If you're into automobiles, if you're into Alabama, if you're into hunting, if you're into anything. Did Alabama win yesterday, brother? That's sick. There should be a league for just Alabama. Tennessee scored 2 touchdowns. I watched it. No, they didn't. They brought the cheerleaders in. Okay, cool. So whatever your story is, I don't care if it's potatoes. I don't care if it's cows. I don't care if it's engineering. I don't care what it is. Be prepared to share your story. I don't care if it's playing a guitar as good as my wife plays. You ever heard my wife play guitar? She is awesome. I'm just kidding, baby. I don't care what it is. You weave your story around it. So, okay. We're down to training others. John 14, 12 and 14. Okay. Turn to John 15. John 15. Real quick. We're just about out of here. John 15. The book is available from Lin Kai called Training for Trainers. I would recommend anybody that has an interest in taking this further, understanding this deeper. There's several different layers to this, but the 6 points is the basis of the foundation of this teaching. Okay, John 14, 12 through 14. Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that my Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, you know, we've got to go a couple over, but I'm going to pray over this scripture when we get done. That what we ask in Christ's name to use us in the kingdom. We don't know how much longer we got. You know, I've been hearing the Lord's coming back every day for the last 60 years. And we may have another 60. We may have another 600. We may not have another day. I don't know. I don't have that. But we still need to go at this like it's urgent. We need to apply this like it's important. Like it's the whole book of Acts hinges on the spread of the gospel. And it's not finished. It's not even started. I mean, we've got 1.3. How many unreached people in the world, brother? Well over a billion that's unreached. So hopefully, Brent will pay my way to go to a foreign country someday. You know, he's going to get successful. He's going to say, here, Bob, you've been talking about, I'll be 80 years old. I won't be able to walk. But he's, you know, hopefully someday we can do that to an unreached people group. But I believe we've got my definition of a underreached people group in the Bible Belt. Because we've turned this into a ritual. We didn't mean to. It's comfortable, what we do. There's not a person in here that's going to looking forward to what I'm saying, going to Walmart today and standing by somebody and say, you hear about Jesus? scare them to death. I mean, this is Mitchell County. They just left church. They don't want to hear about Jesus. I'm not saying that to be rude, but that's not how we roll in the South. We're quiet. You know, we got that, you know, man, you know, I'm Christian, but hope you are too. And that's not what Paul did. Paul was out there, dude. He was out there. I mean, to the point where they killed him. I mean, they thought he was dead. They drug him out of the city, stoned him. Next morning, he's up preaching the gospel. Give me that. Give me that persecution. I'm not being rude, and I'm not being silly here, but this whole thing works under persecution. I felt persecuted when I couldn't get into prison this week. Because I'm going up to inmates and saying, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not teaching them about the Bible. The guys can quote chapter and verse. They make me ashamed. I want to know if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I ain't got time to play. I'm too old to play at this. The reason I was looking up Joel is in Joel chapter 2, it says that he will restore the years that the canker worms have eaten, the locusts have eaten. The locusts have eaten a lot of my years. I spent a lot of my years doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I had a call on my life then to share the gospel, not to be a preacher. No, but to share the gospel. We're all preachers. Not to be a shepherd, but to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, okay. The last thing, this number 6, is to obey. Flip over to John 15:16, and we'll finish this up in a couple hours. Okay, John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and to produce fruit. That you, your fruit, to go and produce the fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whenever you ask my Father, or whatever you ask my Father in His name, He will give you. The sixth point everything hinges on. And the sixth point is obey. We have to do it. Not everybody's going to do it. I get that. But the ones that are called, the ones that feel this, we have to do it. And we have to start out. And, you know, Jesus sent out people two by two. So it's easy for me to witness in Lowe's if Al's with me. It really is. It's easy for me to witness to someone because when I'm by myself, I'm in a hurry. I've got, you know, I'm focused. I'm focused driven. I'm not relational driven. I mean, really, if you're in my way, you need to move out of my way so I can get there and get what I need. I don't get to interact with a lot of people because I'm busy. 6 days a week, I work sun up, sun down. And that's a thing that I need to talk about too, but that's not today. But when Val's with me, it's easier to witness. It's easier to go up and give that little... We've given out so many of those little crosses and said that blessing to so many people. And I like that. That's awesome. But I need to take it a step further. I need to find people that the Holy Spirit has prepared for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need to be able to share that gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need to make them disciples so they can make other people disciples. It's not enough just to get them to love Jesus Christ, which is so important. I don't take anything away from that. But we have to reproduce this thing, or we're going to end up with an empty building, with an empty county, because we're not reproducing. Brother, you're in a perfect situation to do it. And that's why I thought about you this week when I was praying in the morning. You know, you've got these people at a time in their life where they're making major life decisions. College kids are messed up in the head. I mean, you think old folks are messed up. You know, they're the most intelligent they'll ever be. Every day they live, they get dumber. So you get my age, you don't know anything. So now you have those folks in your care, and instead of Chase just teaching and pounding and teaching the scriptures, which is don't stop doing that, have them make disciples to make disciples. And that plants churches. If we've got a person in here from 20 or 30 miles away, they should plant a church. I'm a firm believer of that. Should they leave this congregation? No, I don't know how that works. But they should. We sent out Zach to plant a church for that peer group. We sent out Brent to plant that group. You know, that should be going on. It's not our seeding capacity, it's our sending capacity. That's what Jesus is telling us in the book of Acts. Man, they could have kept that thing in Jerusalem. James was doing a real good job. As a matter of fact, when Paul showed up, they didn't really care him to show up. Man, he was preaching a weird gospel. And that's where we're at. We got to obey. There's two types of people in the world. I'm going to finish with this. There's only two. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their orientation is, where they're from, Yankees included. There's only two types. The saved and the lost. To the lost, we share Christ. If they accept it, we baptize them, make them a disciple, train them to make disciples. If they're saved, we teach them how to become a disciple, train them to make disciples. That will change the world. Lin Kai caught it. He's sharing it with everybody in the world. And I talked to the missionaries that were here last week, and we were talking about training for trainers. They said it has revolutionized the mission field. We're not trying to plant a church up on a hill and duplicate what we have here at Walnut Grove in foreign countries. We're trying to have them become disciples, go into their village, disciple other people, plant a church there, go to the next village, and it's just duplicatable. And that's how it works. That's how he went from 60 people a year for 10 years to over a million people in 20 years. You know, it's like a multi-level. I was telling Kurt, this thing's like a multi-level marketing thing. You know, it's like an Amway thing for Jesus. You know, we you know, I'm gonna show you how to share Jesus so you can show you how to share Jesus. Pretty soon it's infectious. And we pray about it. I'm going to leave you one last thing. I told you I was going to finish 20 minutes ago. One last thing. And I have not tried this yet, so like I say, I don't have this all down pat. But Lin Kai's book, and he didn't cover this at the seminar, but Lin Kai's teachings tell us that the easiest way to start this, and Val and I eat out a lot because we're just busy. Not as much as we used to. We should eat out every day when we're trucking. When a waiter or waitress comes up to the table, not on a Sunday afternoon when there's like you're at a steakhouse and there's a line out the door, that's not going to work. But a lot of times we're cheap and we'll go at 2:30 like a lot of you folks do to get your dinner meal because you still have a lunch menu. Anybody got, can I get a witness? You know, it's $3 cheaper. You know, yeah. So at that time it's perfect. And when that waiter or waitress comes up to you, say, "Hey, I'm getting ready to pray for my meal. Can I pray for a miracle for you today? Is there anything on your heart that I can pray for?" Not many people are going to turn that down. They may not be a believer. Don't be surprised if they don't break down and say, "Oh," and walk away. They may not even be able to vocalize what they need prayer for. But if we start walking in that faith, if we start walking in that power of the Holy Spirit, wake up every morning and pray, "Lord, open that door. Open it. Give me the boldness to walk through it. Cover me in your Holy Spirit," as we're going to see in the book of Acts. Give me that. And let's do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to explain it. Something I had nothing to do with, Lord. Something that you showed me. Something that's so amazing. That put your scriptures into play in the day in which we live all over the world. Father, I pray for Lynn and Grace Kai, wherever they're at this morning, speaking the same message. Keep it simple. Keep it short. But lift up Jesus to every place, everywhere we go. Make it our most important topic. Make it more important than anything else that we talk about to anybody we talk to. Father, I pray for that. And I pray that your word be true, that you said whatever we ask, that you will give us. Father, I'm asking for souls. I'm asking for disciples. I'm asking for those disciples to become disciples. So when we stand in your presence, we got more than just saying, "Man, I went to church." I do thank you for this church. I thank you for my brother that's my shepherd. I thank you for the people that showed me how to go into the prison. For the people that are already doing this. We got so many people in this building that's already doing this. And I thank you for that. But I ask you, Father, to use us greatly. Use us as a sending point, not as an assembly point. We're not trying to build a bigger church. We're trying to build more disciples. So use us, Father. Father, give us the heart of obedience. Help us take this from being just intellectual, which is so important, to learn theology, to learn the scriptures, but then to be obedient with what their scriptures tell us. That we don't just keep studying the menu, that we have a meal, that we can spread that word. Father, I pray for our unsaved. We got kids and nieces and nephews and grandkids and people that don't know you yet, Father. Use us in that regard, Father. Father, I thank you for this opportunity again. And I ask you to go with us this week. We don't know what this week's going to hold. Last week was a rough week for a lot of families. But we ask that you keep your presence or your angels about us. You give us a peace, Lord. And that we'll soon, someday, be in your presence. And we'll be able to walk on streets of gold. And we'll be able to put our arms around people that we didn't even know prayed for us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.